Anthony Gordon. They are in again with a good ball. Ramsey changing the pace. Sanchez. 3-0. Liverpool in deep trouble. Arsenal on the rampage. Yeah, that's a lovely touch. It has Giovinco on his way. Sebastian Giovinco. It's 2-2. Oh, it was splendid. Top draw. Sebastian Giovinco.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of the Football Weekly Podcast. I'm your host, Reggie. Tonight we have Joe on the phone, we have Fred on the phone, and we're going to be discussing major issues in the world of football. Since we didn't have a show last week, we still have to talk about the North London Derby. We have to talk about some derbies that happened in Scotland, Italy. We're going to be hitting on international break. We're going to be hitting on what Canada did, and we're going to talk about the TFC as well. So guys, as usual, you can get to our podcast from our website. That's footballweekly.com, football spelled F-U-T-B-O-L weekly.com. You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player FM. We're on Spotify and iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts. You can subscribe to us on social media on Instagram at @football_weekly_podcast. You can subscribe to us on Twitter, the @football_weekly. There's a number of different ways you can get to us. We always have posts and polls on our Twitter account. So if you want to vote or if you want to hear talk about anything in the world of football, drop us a line and we'll do our best to do so. Got a couple of interviews coming up in the next month or so, so stay tuned for that as well. So guys, without any further ado, lots to talk about. Sit back, relax, and get stuck in with the Football Weekly Podcast. We'll be back after this.
Lovely cushion header. Pajero! Oh, you're muted! What a head, son! What a head!
This is Emmanuel Zambazis of York 9 Football Club, and you're listening to the Football Weekly Podcast.
So guys, I need you to explain something to me. Why can I watch Azerbaijan versus Finland, but I can't watch Canada versus Cuba in Canada? Explain this to me.
Well, you can.
Well, no, Joe, I can't.
You can.
I can't.
How, Joe? How can you watch it?
Well, you can subscribe to One Soccer.
Okay, so now you've been here, Joe. I have a very nice home theater system, got a nice TV. So I'm forced to now watch this game on a 17-inch screen laptop when I have a 55 sitting over there and I can't watch the game. But I can watch Kosovo versus whatever other war-torn country there is. Like, what are we talking about here? What are we doing?
Well, you and Fred are very, very astute in the area of
technical
wizardry. So okay. You can attach your laptop, and I believe it's
why do I have to do that? But I can just turn on my TV to watch Kosovo versus Armenia. Why?
You can also free trial on soccer and watch it.
Look, my simple answer is the men's game is not doing so great, so they can't be bothered to televise it for us to watch.
But Fred, that's what I think. Fred, it's Canada. Canada.
I understand. It's ridiculous. I agree.
It's nonsense. It should be picked up on national TV for sure.
CBC should also have picked it up easily, no problem, right?
You know, also, we'll deal with the first game, not the game where Canada had to play Cuba in the Cayman Islands. Not a bad place to play for Canada. But the home game, I believe last Saturday.
Right.
You know, they could have moved the time of the game, you know.
Well, Joe, being you're a smart guy, what time would you have put that game?
Yeah, we were talking. You know, put it at 4 in the afternoon.
Okay.
You
know, and why would you put it at 4 o'clock in the afternoon?
Well, of course, you know, TFC's playing at
7:30
or whatever they played in Cincinnati. I mean, like, we want to grow the game. We have to do this. So, yeah, it's disappointing. It's not ideal and so on. Like, the thing with One Soccer, which is a good thing, is, you know, it gives you CPL coverage, no problem. But when your men's national team is playing, you'd expect that it's on
one of the TSNs. There's five of them that people are paying for. There's Sportsnet that has five channels. There's CBC that has three or four channels as well. CTV has three or four channels. I can't pick it up on anything on my TV.
It's
crazy. It's crazy. And then they wonder why people don't watch and people don't come out, and it's crazy. People were texting me, asking me, where can I watch the Canada game? And I flicked everywhere, and it was like, buddy. And then I sent you a message. I was like, Joe, where can I watch the game? And you're like, you have to watch it online. And I'm like, I'm not going to do that.
I'm not going to do that.
Huh?
I had the right answer, didn't
I? Of course
I?
You do, Joe. You always have the right answer.
You always have the right answer.
No, I don't know about that. But yeah, it's silly. It's silly. I mean, it's, you know, I'm making light of it, but obviously I'm not. I mean, I'm being a smart ass about it. It's stupid. I mean, like, let's grow the game, you know. Let's put it on in Canada, not TFC.
Canada at 4, TFC at 7 or 8, 8 p.m. start or whatever TFC, it was. And
right,
it.
Because TFC was obviously on the road, so they can't control that, of course.
Right.
But, you know, Canada, make the game at 4, you know, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Also pretty conducive to bringing the young kids out to the game, too. You know, 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Get them home by 7,
Yeah, maybe make each ticket, cost efficient for everybody. But what do we know?
Exactly.
So, anyway.
Just the opportunity lost.
There's 100%.
Let's
hope that now there is the next big game in October. Canada USA.
Well, I'll be there.
Which is I'm going to try to be there myself. And but interesting that, you know, Canada wins 6-0 in the first game. Great showing, great goal by Jonathan David again. Junior Hoylett gets a hat trick. Okay, great, all good stuff, and that was good. And then in the game, and the second game they played against Cuba the other day against the Cayman, in the Cayman Islands, they Daniil Henry gets a red card. Now you might say, that's a big deal. He misses an opportunity. In a spot where, you know, young, a lot of young kids. And again, a lot of Toronto boys making, you know, their second or third appearances, by the way, in that. Kamal Miller, who we've talked about a lot on this show, from Syracuse, Vaughn Grant, played, you know, in the first game. Richie Larea, who's doing really well with TFC at right back, did very well again for Team Canada. But, yeah, you know, that's a big deal. Daniil Henry being out, I think, is, you know, something that is going to cause a bit of concern for,
The Canada defense is very, I don't want to say suspect, but it's the major part of their.
I mean, it's the spot where there's a bit of inexperience. We talked about the young guys who are going to, I think, solidify it. And of course, you know, having a little bit of experience with guys like Kamal and seeing, you know, Richie falling in Akron, actually he stays at Sigma, right, and so on. But you know, I get it. Like, that's the spot where, okay, like you said, it's the question marks. If there's anywhere, it'll be for there in Canada. And even if it's just because of lack of experience. So Daniil Henry being out of that, and, you know, he's been, a lot of people saying that he's been Canada's most consistent defender, center back. So yeah, it's going to be cause for concern because, again, it's the States. It's, I couldn't even tell you the last time we beat them. So, we need this one. It's the first huge international match other than the Gold Cup, you know, excluding that for Herdman and Team Canada. So we'll see.
We definitely will see. I think that game's October 15th here at BMO.
Is that it? Yeah.
So, BMO, hopefully we can get a full house. I will try my best. I was looking today. I'll try my best to get out there to watch that game because I really want to see this, this national team, the Canadian national team play live. And see what John Herdman has these guys doing, because all I'm hearing is good things about it. So I want to go see it in person for myself. So Canada's doing well. United States is up next. We talking about TFC finally coming together, we think?
Well, speaking of finally coming together, I mean, they just have 3 games on the road, and they just missed a great opportunity. We were just watching it now.
Right.
To beat NYCFC. Actually, Pozuelo. Yeah. Had a PK. He scored his first one. They had a PK around the 80th.
It's a good PK, though. It's a good PK.
The second one?
Yeah, that's a good. It's a good PK.
I think the only thing I would say, hit it with as much venom as he should have.
He went to the same side that he went to the first time. That's the only thing I would say. Yeah. But if that goes in, it's a side net again, Joe.
Yeah, it's just. But I don't think he hit it all. It's a good save by Sean Johnson, but I don't know. I mean, got to score, but. Hey, and then Ben is, they had great chances to win it. He's looked really good.
Now that guy is looking 100 times better than Gallardo.
Yeah, Gallardo had a strange one again. He actually did very well, and then he set up the goal, like the first goal, and then or helped in the setup to it, and then goes off. I'm guessing he was hurt. you know. So he's taken so long to fit in, never really played a – not really, but he's never played a full match. He started the last four but been subbed, and I guess they're saying because of fitness and stuff. So but Endo, he looks a good player.
Endo comes in and plays well.
Oh, I thought he did well. I thought he's done well. I think Tsubasa Endo has done very well. And how about a guy there who's just biding his time and keeps working? And you know what? When he first came to TFC, obviously starting, did well, had a couple of spells at TFC too, and you know.
Well, there you go with the competition for places, right?
Yeah.
That's what it is. So we had, like Joe said, the NYC FC on September 11th playing at Yankee Stadium against TFC. So it's a 1-1 draw. So that draw actually moves TFC into fourth place for the time being. It gets them a home game. And anything can happen at home, Joe. Right, Fred?
Definitely. Definitely. They're definitely pushing on strong towards the end, which is kind of good to see back in the playoff hunt. And fighting for proper position to get a home field advantage, I guess, which will be good.
Big difference than, you know, if they can hold on to this going forward. I mean, if they would have finished sixth, they would have played Atlanta, which you don't really want to play in the first round.
You
don't
want to away. You got to play them away too, right? So,
like Fred said, you know, you can get, you know, now this game, if it, you know, stays the same, or we can stay this way. We host the game
on a cold night in November, right?
Yeah. So, you know, this now I'm just watching here now. Colorado playing LA Galaxy, and of course on Sunday, I believe TFC will host Colorado, and it is the return of
Robin Fraser.
That's right. So, you know, longtime TFC assistant, so well respected guy, and so that should be interesting. And again, no easy games in MLS, as we know. This is, you know, coming home now. We got to make sure that, or if you're a TFC supporter, or if you're TFC, you have to make sure that you, you know, be professional about this and approach this the right way and get the 3 points. You cannot drop in this game, I would imagine.
Definitely. No, you can't.
So hopefully TFC can sustain this good run that they're actually on. Josie Altidore comes back from an injury tonight.
Did very well again.
Very, very well in hold up play, actually caused the first penalty.
Yeah, just a big guy. Set up a couple. He's, you know, and then you know, set up again, like Reggie said about hold up play. You know, set up Pozuelo and Benazee inside the box, inside the 18. You know, by taking up spaces, good spaces, using his physicality, but also his good sense of soccer knowledge and soccer ability. I would say reading the game inside that area with his hold up play and laying off and creating chances for his, you know, fellow attackers. For his teammates, right? So bringing them into the game. So, Sunday.
Isn't that why you play with wingers, though, to get those guys in the game? When you're playing you're playing that type of formation, that is exactly how you should be playing as a striker.
Especially in that field is like a real – that field is a joke, isn't it, guys?
Here's what I was thinking during a game. And you, Coach Joe, tell me if I'm wrong. If I'm a coach coming into play on that field, I want to be training on that field. They were training at LAFC New York FC's. Well, what are they? NYCFC? What are they?
NYCFC.
They were going to their training. They were going to their training facility. I've never been there. Maybe it's the same size as Yankee Stadium, but I doubt it.
It's not. But Reg, when you travel, you're at the mercy of.
Why
I think they would have wanted to train more extensively at New York State at Yankee Stadium, but I don't think it was available.
So if it's up to me, then the training ground has to be the same size as the pitch you're going to be playing.
Maybe they made it that way, Reg. I can't say for sure, but maybe they did.
Yeah, it's true. I've never seen it.
Maybe they narrowed it.
They could have. They could have even done it themselves. Themselves. But I mean,
it's hard to. I mean,
to replicate it, right?
That made the hybrid look huge.
Well, look at the. There was one point in the mid. I was looking in the midfield.
You like that, Fred? That you caught that, Fred?
Yeah, I caught it too.
Yeah, man.
Hybrid was a fortress. Never mind. But if I was looking at the field at one time, and it was just like there was four TFC players in the midfield, maybe three. New York players, and you couldn't move the ball. It was like a pinball machine.
Yeah.
Just because there's no space.
I actually gave a lot of credit to Terry Dunfield in this, who said, in a field like this, you got to move the ball even quicker.
Yeah, you have to.
Right? Your passes have to be crisp.
People are getting in the way just because they're standing. It's not because they did anything. It's just because they're there.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the need to get the ball wide or make the field even wider as possible. Get your, you know, feet on that touchline to make sure that you extend that field. So, I mean, I thought they created chances wide, but
maybe NYCFC did that on purpose. Who knows?
Well, yeah, it is definitely a home field advantage.
They're in first place, right? And, you know, they know TFC's on a run. It's like the hottest team, one of the hottest team in the league at the moment, right? So, you know, they try to mess up with their flow a little bit by squeezing their field and, you know.
Yeah, but, you know, you shorten any field and I'll look like a marathon runner out there. I can play up and down all day.
Yeah.
And that's me. So, I don't know. But anyways, guys, TFC doing well.
A good result.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, no.
Climbing up the ladder, if they can sustain this run, this form, and actually make it into fourth place, would be fantastic to get a home game in the playoffs for the fans, and even make it a little bit easier for themselves as well. But hopefully they can sustain this.
Let's make sure that banana peel doesn't come on that slip up.
We won't bring that up. let's go across the pond. We haven't spoken since the North London Derby. We had a week off.
Roll the tape.
Okay, Joe, take it easy. we made some predictions for the North London Derby before our last show, and Joe predicted a 2-2?
A 2-2 draw.
I wouldn't be glowing 1-1? So much if I didn't call the 2-2. Now watch, if we roll the tape and it goes 1-1, everything I'm saying goes for naught.
I think you said 2-2, actually.
Yeah, I think you said 2-2, Joe.
I don't know, but like, again, I thought Tottenham goes up 2-0. I just thought, I think Arsenal has enough here. I just think out of the two teams, the team rolling here.
It was against the run of play too, right?
I thought so. But, you know, good on Arsenal for, you know, continuing to attack. I thought, you know, by the end of it, you guys are Gunner fans. I mean, by the end of it, I thought Arsenal might have felt unlucky not to get the 3 points.
Well, you have to give yourself a chance to win if you're setting up tactically and setting up personnel as well. And for me, I don't know about Fred, but for me, personnel in that game, especially in the midfield, 100%
right.
100% wrong. Why wouldn't he play?
You know, I don't know what kind of games that when Emery's playing there, like Danny Biles is playing him and Guendouzi are, you know, Guendouzi, by the way, has been fantastic.
Excellent
season, but, you know, early days, but still. But
that
like
pass.
Yeah, he's playing at a different clip right now. But why wouldn't you start Ceballos? As you guys are Gunner fans, and I'm sure you're reading all the blogs and, you know, following, what is the sense on that?
Nobody knows, Joe.
No idea, Joe.
All I can tell you is no manager seems to be able to drop Xhaka. I don't know why. His national team, you know, Wenger, Emery, nobody's able to drop the guy. I don't know why they can't drop the guy.
I keep saying that he has pictures and no one believes me. He's got pictures of something happening at Arsenal. I promise you, he has something.
Doesn't he have something?
Even when he made that error for the penalty shot, which I still have no idea why he would go into that tackle. The ball was gone already, and he's still blaming the chances missed on the game being tied or lost. That's not the reason why.
Granit Xhaka, he loves that color yellow. He's just I tell you.
No, but you know, speaking of him loving that color yellow, like this game is a game that, if anything, should have been sent off compared to some of the past games that he's been sent off for. Because game, he didn't get a yellow. I don't even think he didn't get yellow until like 80 something minute.
Yeah, which was crazy.
The way he was playing, like I was, you know what I mean?
I don't know.
So I don't know. I really don't know.
I just think, I don't know. I'm not an Arsenal, you know, like fanatic like you guys, but I kind of follow them. Like, you know, like the teams that you guys, Liverpool and Arsenal, that are obviously guys that are connected to our show. Oh, they're a little bit more. So I just see it and I go, I don't know why Lucas Torreira, Guendouzi, and Ceballos don't play in a midfield three. I don't understand it.
Joe, this is the midfield I would have started at home against in the beginning of the season at home and in North London Derby. You guys can call me crazy if you want. I got Ceballos and Ozil playing beside each other, and I have Guendouzi or Torreira in the holding role. That's it. And you go attack them.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yep.
You'd go Nicolas Pepe. One side
and Aubameyang the other, Lacazette in the middle, and let's target, go. Why are we playing so scared that we have to have three defensive midfielders and a three-man midfield? Oh, I don't understand.
I don't even know. Like, Xhaka, to me, I think you're better off with Torreira and Guendouzi. I just think, even if you don't want to go with, you know, full out maybe two ahead of a one, you know, like in terms of a six and an eight and a ten, I don't know. I just don't see the Xhaka. I mean, I see him every week getting in foul trouble, you know? Like, I think he's got a good bonus. Like,
game's too fast for him. This league is too fast for him. Mkhitaryan, all those guys, this league is too fast for them, and that's why they struggle.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And he doesn't use, like, I don't know. I'm not sure. I think he overextends himself, to say the least, Xhaka. But yeah, keeps finding himself in the club and the team. And like Fred had mentioned before, it doesn't matter what manager they're playing, Granit Xhaka.
They can't seem to cut him. Like, I don't know why. They can't seem to drop him from a squad. Like, depending on the match, like, some matches he shouldn't be playing in, period. Like, you know? And it's, I don't know, man. You know, all I know is I'm glad we didn't lose. We should have won, but, you know.
Yeah, losing. Because
if we have lost.
That would have been a disaster.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's disaster averted there. And, you know, like, I think a loss would have been, just the way the game went for both teams, would have been, like you said, Reg, a disaster. So,
yeah.
You know, for Arsenal, you bounce back after a tough start on the scoreboard. Mm-hmm. And if you're Tottenham, you know, you're like, okay, well, at least we didn't lose this. And maybe disappointed you didn't get three by the way you started. But again, judging how fragile they were coming in, mm-hmm. I think they would have took this tie.
Of course. Away from home and a derby, you take a tie, don't you?
That's right. Yeah, I think so, and especially with their run of form, right?
So. Right, exactly. So I don't want to make this into an Arsenal show, but Arsenal plays Watford next game, and Watford has made a head-scratching move, in my opinion.
Stupid move.
Getting rid of Javier Garcia, their coach. Yeah. Watford played pretty good football last season. Correct?
Listen, how many games have we played? Of course.
Yeah.
Javi Gracia did not deserve to get fired.
I don't think so.
In our opinion, right, guys? How many games they played? Reg, you just said they played well last year. They did.
Yeah.
How many games have we played in the EPL this year? Four?
Four? Five?
Three? Four. Isn't it three?
No, four.
Four games.
Okay, four?
Yeah,
What the hell are we doing firing our manager? Unless he went in there and something happened and he told, like, this is stupid. And here's Watford again. Being real, like, why would you take the... And who did they hire? Did they not hire their manager who was their manager before?
Yeah, they hired back the manager they replaced with Gracia.
With Javi Garcia.
They hired him back. Kike Flores. I don't understand.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. It's really stupid. It just goes to show you this is that's nonsense, you know? I mean, who wants to take this job?
The person who was right for the job had the job. So why are you looking to mix it up a little bit? Four games into the season?
Yeah, the panic button was pushed.
As we always say, it's early doors. Don't get too high. Don't get too low. And guys, I think Watford made a panic decision.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's one of these things that, you know, nobody wants to wait for the result to come, you know, they want it right away. And
yeah, but what position do you think they're going to be in four games into the season? First?
Yeah.
Maybe that's what they expected, right?
You gotta change the management. You got to change the ownership instead of the manager, because that's unrealistic.
It's really a panic move.
Yeah.
You know, opinion.
It's crazy.
How can we in all, like anything that's sense, you know, common sense or, you know, sensical and logical, I should say, sorry, to make this move. Like,
I would like to know what they told Flores to come back and take this job, because if you sack the next manager 4 games into the season, how many games is he going to get?
Yeah,
that's it. That's true, right?
You know what I mean? Right?
What a glutton for punishment to come back.
Right? Come back to the end of the season. Yeah. Is that the deal that he signed now? I promise.
Like, you know?
Yeah, really, right? You fired me once. Why I don't know why I came back. I don't get it.
You know what I mean? Anyways, I don't know, man. It's crazy.
Anyways,
but so I don't think Watford deserve to be where they are, and they shouldn't have sacked the manager, but I think they'll be all right.
I think so too.
I think so too.
They're like a mid-table team, I think. I think seventh place around there. And I think in the beginning of the season that they're having right now, seventh place is unattainable. Like, you're not going to get relegated.
It's like saying, well, Wolves, you know, oh man, we're not where we were last year. We're going to sack Nuno Espirito Santo. Like,
yeah, really.
I mean, they have the Europa League burden. They've actually qualified. Like, I mean, you got to give this a bit of time. Like,
right.
I understand you don't want to wait till this gets way out of hand, but maybe
after
8 games, four games.
After Christmas, I give you. That's it.
The first international break.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. But hopefully Arsenal can take advantage of the new coach. It doesn't always look good. I think every time a new coach comes in, it's players try to impress.
The team comes out with a little bit more fire.
So you got to be careful. And they're a hard team to play already. You know, so,
like we always say, there's really no easy fixture in the EPL. There really isn't.
Yeah,
game needs to be approached a certain way. So, nothing surprises me anymore in the way of results in the EPL, and it's just, you know, speak to its just tough mental grind and trying to win a game, get a result.
So how long do we give Ole Gunnar Solskjaer before he's gone?
We'll talk about guys on the hot seat.
Well, hot seat? No, this seat is not hot anymore.
Christmas.
It's gasoline on fire, flaming right now.
I think
Christmas time
done.
I think so.
Are you just not grinning your ass off?
Well, he's grinning every time he leaves a team. He's grinning because it's not so easy, right?
Yeah. Yep.
It's not so easy. So I give it till Christmas as well. If things stay the same, obviously I give it till Christmas.
Yeah. But if they don't turn it around, he's gone for sure.
What's the difference between when he came in last season and everything was going right until now? What's the difference?
Yeah. You know, they were just looking for a hero last year, weren't they? They just wanted something good, and it felt good. You know, Ole, former, you know, legend at the club, and you know, it's a combination of so many things. The United, you know, snowball of disaster continues, guys. Should they be better off than they are? Yeah, of course they should, but something's got to give there. And I think, like you guys said, that seat's not hot, that seat's on fire.
Nobody takes that job.
I think Pochettino is on fire too, a bit too. You never know. Might be getting steamy there too.
Yeah, I saw Pochettino to Barca, I think.
Yeah. That actually sounds about right.
Well, they lose one game and they fire their manager, so
yeah.
I'm sure the manager there is on his hot seat too.
You know, Steve Bruce is another one, but I mean, Ole Gunnar looks like that one's, you know, firmly.
Yeah.
Inferno, if you will. That is bad news. Yep.
Yeah, for sure.
And good luck.
So I think we have them in a couple of weeks, right, Fred?
Yeah, a couple of weeks we'll play them and we'll see.
By that time, Unai Emery will be on fire too. Will he?
Will he though?
No.
You hope not, eh, guys?
Will he though? Arsenal finishes third this season, so anyways.
Okay.
As long as Ole's at the wheel, Arsenal will finish third. So let's go across to Italy. The last time we spoke, we were speaking about the derbies that were going on in North London. There was one in Scotland as well, Rangers and Celtic, which Celtic took 2-0. I think that was at Celtic Park. I'm not sure, but... Stevie G took an L.
Yeah.
So we had Lazio Roma in the, what's the derby, Joe?
The Derby de la Capital.
Sure it is.
the capital city derby, if you will. Right? Sure. So it was the post derby. I think there was about 20 posts hit in this match.
Oh, yeah.
Literally, I think each team hit four and so on. So it was a 1-1 tie, 1-1 draw. Again, entertaining game. Well, it's a heated match, to say the least. Mm-hmm. Mainly, that was the, you know, the derby, if you will. Like I said, a lot of posts in this match. I mean, we had a crazy, crazy, crazy game that was Juventus and Napoli.
Oh, yeah, I mean, Joe. Like, Fred, did you watch that?
Yeah.
I was watching the game. It was 3-0. Juventus was cruising. And I said, you know what? I'm going to start doing other things around the house. And I'll keep the game on. But I'll be doing this. I'm not going to be watching it. And then it just 3-3. Like, what?
I did a total, just to keep my theme, a soccer theme. You know, I 3-0. Juventus was in full control. I'm playing fantastically. Mm-hmm. And me and Reggie and I, we were you know, messaging during the game. I left and went to buy our soccer cleats that I needed. And went to see a guy who we mentioned on the show, big time Juventus fan, long time supporter, Ross.
Hello.
Good friend. Mm-hmm. And I got to his place and said, wow, okay. It's literally 2 minutes away and it's 3-2. I'm like, wow, game on. Yeah. Better watch this game. And then Di Lorenzo, bang, 3-3. Mm-hmm. And then, in the worst fashion, if you're a neutral especially,
I know,
for this match, you know, such a great player who we've trumpeted here on this show a ton of times, Koulibaly, with just a horrendous kind of own goal. Just really shocking. Yeah, went to clear, and what a finish right in his own net.
Yep.
Well, I've done that before. It sucks.
Same here.
But,
it sucks.
I mean, it's part of being a defender, unfortunately. And
it is. You know,
it sucks that it came in a game where your team fought tooth and nail to get back into it.
Yeah, what a match. I know. We're Chucky Lozano again, Irving Lozano there. Yeah. Mexico again, in his scores in his debut, and says, I've scored in every debut, and there he goes again.
That game deserved that 3-3 scoreline because of the way the game went.
Ended for sure.
Yeah.
So we've talked about so many bad things in the game of football with the disgusting acts and displays of racism that just won't go away, mm-hmm. right? But here we have an amazing display of sportsmanship at the end of this match with Giorgio Chiellini, who's injured, going to console, you know, obviously from Juventus, Koulibaly. Of now, that was, you know, that's what we should be looking at, because this is a, you know, these are two competitive rivals in Italian football, and especially the Napoli, the only team really consistently in the last few years challenging Juventus at any point. And here you have Chiellini taking a bit of time out to go and console Koulibaly. I like seeing that, you know.
That was good to see, though.
Koulibaly's a class guy, right?
He is. He's a very classy guy. You're absolutely right. You know what, Reg? And Fred, we've talked about, I think the last time I talked about how, you know, I saw something on Juan Mata, and, you know, if you hear that guy speak, Giorgio Chiellini falls in that category. Mm-hmm. Top class, top notch, you know, hard nose as a defender, but really well spoken and, you know, in it for the right reason and very respectful. So that was nice to see because, you know, there's been too much, you know, bad things, if you will, and dark spots in terms of, you know, humanity, especially in Italian football, that, you know, we don't want to trumpet and we don't want to talk about in terms of the good things. And this was a good moment. Still, we have a long way to go, but that was a great moment.
Yeah, no, that was nice to see.
That's for sure. And I know Cagliari was at it again, but we're not going to talk about it.
Yeah, the Cagliari fans, it's disgusting display. The only thing I'd love to say about that is they don't deserve any, you know, airtime in that sense. They do need to be called out, is that, you know, many, many of the players are saying, and good for Romelu Lukaku, who's, you know, he's fighting evil with good. Mm-hmm. And his posts and what he's been saying, I spoke to Reggie about this, Fred, about him saying, you know what, let's be better than this. Let's be better for our kids and for the examples mm-hmm. of kids. And he uses his example of, you know, looking at, you know, footballers as examples that he could look up to. And he could have chose to be as angry, and he has every right to be, you know, bitter and fight this with venom, but he didn't. He's fighting it with love. And you know what? Good for that. But to those fans and those ultra fans, they need to be cleaned up It's got to be rid of. You know, it's disgusting. You know, today we, I mean, I was reading something where, you know, the Canadian, or sorry, the Italian American, you know, Camiso, who's the owner of Fiorentina.
Oh, is it Fiorentina?
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, they, Roma also does have a Canadian, sorry, an Italian American owner, but he was saying, or enough with these ultras, and he's calling out his own ultras of Fiorentina, saying there's no room for this. And them, it's just about, you know, northern and southern, like Italian, like anti-chants, like anti-southern chants. And he's saying, you know, enough, this has got to go. Like, we, this has no place in the game, you know. And and Italy, for too long, it's been accepted, right? And it's got to go. It's got to be stamped out. And again, we get on our high horse, and I'm not just saying it because, you know, it's the right thing to say. It is the right thing to say. It's the right thing to do. So good for guys like Lukaku, you know, good for, you know, Koulibaly and Chiellini showing us what it should be like. It's got nothing to do with all the other nonsense. Yeah, go at it on the field, of course. Rivalries, derbies are great. We just talked about one of the best, North London. Okay, at the end of it, you know,
yeah, it's 90 minutes.
And have a beer.
It's 90 minutes of competitiveness. After that, it should be all done. We're all human beings. Let's, like you said, let's go for a beer. That's it.
You know, and the Serie A guys, I mean, we've been lucky, like, being to have Ronaldo come, to have Romelu Lukaku come, to have these guys come and join the league where, you know, they weren't coming. Okay, some of them have nowhere else to go. I get it. It's a, it's last chance hotel, but not Ronaldo and stuff. So let's the focus should be on that. Right. All this other stuff needs to be gone, stamped out. So anyhow.
100%. Well said. Well said. So keeping kind of in Italy, we have finally an end to the Mauro Icardi saga of him going to PSG.
PSG.
That was a that was kind of a shock. I didn't see that one coming at all. I think it's the I think Neymar is gone in the winter, personally.
You,
I think
you would think, right?
And I think that's their contingency plan there, is to pick up Icardi to mitigate the loss.
And it I would say completes the cleansing there of the locker room in terms of putting his imprint on it of Antonio Conte.
You're talking about Inter,
he got
right?
rid of Alexis Sanchez. Sorry, brought in Alexis Sanchez. My apologies. Mm-hmm. He got rid of Rajan Angelan. Got rid of Mauro Icardi and Perisic.
Yeah, you know, they were all at odds with each other too. So
you know, and then he's like, you know, we're gonna do it our way. And stuff, and of course, we said this a while back, and not only bringing Antonio Conte, but you know, Marotta, the sporting director, the club, you know, director who used to be at Juventus and who spearheaded their, you know, let's say, rise up to the European dominance again. They are there, so again, the game I'm looking forward to. I'm not sure when it's happening exactly, but Juventus and Inter will be as. A guy who used to be, and hopefully back on our show soon, and Logan, a spicy matchup at that. So
for sure,
you know, we'll see.
For sure. So yeah, Neymar and Icardi. What do you think, Fred?
I don't know. We'll see. I guess Icardi is gonna try and prove that he belongs there. And seeing that Neymar wants out, I guess, you know, he will probably just let him have it.
Is he the type of talent that can replace a Neymar? I know that PSG can draw in France. It's not a problem with the stands. But as far as results go, is he the type of player that can replace something that Neymar brings to the field? Even though Neymar's been here for a while, but
not really. But you know, like we spoke about a few weeks back, if you don't have that attitude check, you know, no matter your talent, almost anybody can kind of, you know what I mean, with the right attitude can. Basically do what you do better, right? Because it's all about the attitude that you and the approach you bring to the game, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Because Neymar is the talent, but the attitude has to go. And if you don't lose that, then no matter how much talent you have, you know, somebody else who doesn't have the same talent with the right attitude will overshadow your talent right away. You know? And I think that's what's gonna happen in this case, I think.
For sure. For sure.
So I just don't know if he wants to be there. Anymore.
That's right? The thing, right?
Sorry. We know he doesn't, right, guys?
100% so, he does not want to be there, 100%.
You know? So, you know, so, I mean, it's a different type of player, no doubt, but on his day, he's still a lethal finisher, Mauro Icardi, right? Like, he's just a goal scorer, you know, and he's got his other issues. I got it. And, you know, his high-profile wife and all the stuff, the nonsense around him that way. you know. Yeah. But at the end of the day, Cavani's getting on, right? Maybe if this works out, we see maybe Cavani moving on, right? So
it's a different kind of,
like, you know, PSG is one of those teams. Like, yeah, you know, I'm sure that they just want this. They need a Champions League run, do they not? I mean, they need a Champions League run.
Yeah, it was shocking how they came out last year. But
anyway. Right? So, anyway. We'll see.
Well, we started the show off with Canadian international news. So let's go to European international news. And we had a ton of games. And, you know, we had Armenia versus Bosnia or Serbia or whoever. We have a bunch of games going on. We had a big game, Germany versus the Netherlands. I didn't see it. So...
4-2 for the Netherlands.
I heard that Germany was up.
Yep, 2-0.
Really? Wow. What happened?
I don't know. I think it's a collapse. Or you just the Netherlands just show how superior they are now with all the talent that they have on the field. They just brought the game on to Germany and they couldn't handle it.
They're definitely in it. Like Fred just mentioned, they have an abundance of talent right now. They're in a good place to say,
mildly,
right? The Netherlands. So, wow. I mean, it still looks, guys, that the two of those teams will come out of that group. But I mean, Northern Ireland's there, pretty tough, I believe, in there. So, but yeah, I mean, like Fred said, Germany. This is Germany going down. Like, usually, they'll be efficient. It just goes to show you guys, the modern age of football. Nothing is safe anymore, and maybe it's a better thing. Maybe this is what we want. Before, there'd be games, and games were up at that 2-0, and they were done. That is not the case anymore in any level of football.
Right,
you have to like stay to the end, kind of thing, because you never know what would happen.
Not even in Italy, Serie A is like that anymore. Well, right, it's not.
Two games from the last weekend proved that Arsenal was down 2-0, and Napoli was down 3-0.
Yeah,
you have to stay to the end, right? So
and usually it's and in the past, an Italian team's up 3-0, it's over. Well, not even close.
Not anymore.
The game has just changed. It's just evolved, right? And we've talked about it, and you see it everywhere: high tempo, up pace, going at it, going for it. We see it in the EPL with the top teams there from, City and Liverpool and Italy, Napoli and Juventus, wherever you want to go. It's exciting. I'll say that much. So on an international, like Fred said, 2-0 up for Germany. Traditionally, we'd say game done, right?
It's just back to like the formality for Germany, just making sure they don't concede, keep the ball, and see you later, right? But then this game, by the time I open my eyes again, it's like, 2-2. I'm like, what's going on here,
We have some other amazing stuff. We talked about, Reggie, you talked about Kosovo. So Kosovo beats, I think they get their first win at home in a historic game against the Czech Republic. All right, so they win a game. Yep. That was a huge result for their country, never mind their team.
They were topping the table in that group, weren't they?
Yeah, for a while. Yes, for like a couple hours.
Until today, right? So
yeah, and then they played a match against England, which was 5-3, and so gave England
scored first too.
Yeah, in the first minute or so, right? So
first minute and 49th minute, they were putting in goals.
And here's a guy we kept mentioning last week. How about Jadon Sancho scoring two goals?
Yeah.
For England, so they're and man, they're exciting going forward. Wow, so and then we had Italy beats Finland, and again, Timo Pukki scored again, by the way, so he can't help but score Norwich for Norwich, City, really close to qualifying, though. They came back and so on, but what about that guy? He's pretty good, Cristiano Ronaldo, scoring only scored 4 goals.
That's it,
man, he is just.
At 34 years old, he's still it's just, head and shoulders above the most fit player on the field.
That Portuguese team, too. I mean, Ronaldo got amazing. Yeah. Amazing. 4 goals. Like, he deserves that credit. 4 goals.
Too,
João Felix had some moments, and we talked about them last show, but, good on Ronaldo. I mean, there he is, just scoring goals.
That's a guy dedicated to the craft, man. Like,
he really is.
He can call it a day and go to MLS and be the best player in the league, but he's
so driven.
It's crazy to see. It's crazy to see. Yeah. Now, for another incident in the Euro qualifying, we had France and Albania. What a disaster.
Oh, my gosh. What?
That's embarrassing.
Other nations, maybe. But like,
what national anthem did they play? Armenia?
So
they played Armenia and national anthem first. Or did and it was like
Andorra national anthem, I think.
Andorra?
Yeah, well, one of those A countries. Anyways, and then it was like halfway through it, and then they realized it's the wrong national anthem they're playing.
Oh, and then they botched the apology, too.
For those of you that don't know what we're talking about, France was playing
Albania in a
Euro qualifier. And before the game, they play all the in Paris. And before the game, they play the national anthems of each team. And I can't say France. I guess whoever was controlling the national anthems through the loudspeakers played Andorra's national anthem instead of Albania's national anthem. And halfway, like the guy said, halfway through, they realized and then probably played the right anthem. But even in the end, like Joe was saying, they apologized and they still got it.
I think they apologized for Armenia or something. Again, guys, I'm sorry if we. But the point is, this is like, whoa, man.
Yeah, you can't.
Like, no, at this level, oh, it's embarrassing. And again,
it's so bad.
You know, France coming up. I mean, they've hosted major. This is France. This is a majorly developed and high-ranking nation. And oh man,
it's cringy. It's cringy, but. Anyways, I mean, it's kind of like I'm not going to bother with that. So
I would have loved to see the players.
Well, good on them. They were standing there, pretty embarrassing. So not sure, but we'll keep on watching the Euros. I think there's another international break coming up in October. So we'll watch.
Yeah,
of course it's October because Canada's playing. And another thing I want to talk about next week. Because I know we're wrapping up now, is why the MLS still plays during international breaks. It's ridiculous, but we'll talk about that next week. What are we looking forward to this week, Fred?
The Watford game, I don't think I'm going to get to watch it, but I hope we can come up with a win. I will keep my one eye on the Leicester Man U game to see what happens there, because, you know.
You must be thinking, man, Leicester looks pretty good.
Yeah,
no of kidding. Course. Okay. Of course, right?
I can say no to that, though.
Man. Yeah, I'll keep one eye on that. I'm supposed to be playing some alumni game this Sunday, so we'll see.
Okay, Joe?
I think just with, you know, it's good to have the EPL back. I love the international break, but I really love the EPL and all the leagues back. So it'd be nice to watch those games and just get in the full swing of, you know, seeing what the wonderful world of the EPL will bring this week and what surprises and so on. That's it for me.
Yeah, come on, Arsenal.
Yep, that's it.
That's it.
So, I don't want to say about my team when they play. I just want to make sure we get some points. That's all.
Let's go.
Who are you playing?
Tracy Mohan.
Oh, yeah, it's a good signing for you guys.
Let's go get that win at Vickery Road.
Yeah, for sure. So, guys, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next week.